Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
All weekend long.
Here's John Williams.
That's what I did. How are you? Hi, it's John. We're at the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here weekdays from 1 to 3, Saturdays 10 to noon.
Lord have mercy.
On social media, WGN King John. Don't miss our Mincing Rascals podcast. Search for The Mincing Rascals, judged best in the city. Rashana Coleman, Roe is our producer today. Producer Elif Garris is away. Producer Elif Garris is away. She'll be back Monday in the saddle. It's good to see Steve Bertrand returning, and always nice to hear the voice of Don Kleppen, too. So this is John, and we're here in the Allstate Skyline Studio on the 18th floor. As I walk to work these days, I notice how much work they're doing on the River Walk from Michigan Avenue past Columbus Avenue, almost all the way down to the lake now. And so if you have been in the city and have enjoyed what you see from Michigan Avenue past Trump Tower to Wolf Point, where the river bends and goes north and south, that's been a very lovely and smart development that is almost too good for its own good. But now they're going east. And the black soil is there, the light pole stanchions are up, and I don't know if they're going to have it ready when the weather gets warm. They've still got a few weeks of work left to do. But my guess is, based on the progress and speed I'm seeing that they're working with, that you'll be able to stretch that lovely walk even further towards the lake. And I'm just happy to see your tax dollars working that well if you're in the city of Chicago. Speaking of which, the news click at WGNradio.com says, okay, 674 days later, the Mueller investigation was time and money well spent or a waste of time and money? Time and money well spent or a waste of time and money? What a weekend it was, huh? That report drops, and I only read it today because I was having a weekend and I didn't want to work that hard. And I knew that I wouldn't be able to read the whole thing, that the summary was four pages. I've read it for you. I'll give you the four sentences that matter in that report in just a minute. Also this weekend, like millions of Americans everywhere, around 6:50 last night, I cussed out loud in a public place. Why did I do that? Are you watching me now, Ro? Because of this. And that would be the play-by-play of the Duke game. 3-2-1
hit. Out to Taylor. Jones is on him. Taylor driving. Driving in. Banks it up. No. Put back. In and out. And Duke survives just barely. Inbound. Out to Taylor.
That was really tough. That was really tough.
My mind was just exploding that entire last minute.
There were just some moments there. That breakaway missed dunk that they had that would have iced the game.
Well, and Zion at the end, where was he? He missed like two huge threes.
And a free throw.
Yeah.
I also don't think he was fouled to even get to the line. And then that running layup, and layup doesn't do that shot justice because that was a tough shot. But it almost went in, and those guys make that shot. But the putback was the sort of thing those guys make 8 times out of 10 with less than a second left. And it rimmed in and out, and Duke wins. And then we all get to watch once again Mike Krzyzewski be a gracious winner. I do not want to see that anymore.
They are so lucky.
They really are.
That was all luck there.
And I'm a Taco Fall fan now, man.
He's a beast.
He is one of the largest people on earth. He's 7'6" tall. His name is Taco Hall. And normally when they're that big, they're too spindly for their own good. They don't play that well. Better that you be 6'10 and strong than 7'6 and wiry. But actually, he's a pretty good 7'6 player. UCF, you never heard of them before.
Yeah, he's definitely making a name for them.
And they had some real good players, too. So, fine, Duke, you won. Whatever. I'm so bored with you right now. Ah! I didn't say it about 6:45 in a restaurant last night. It was worse than that. My son looked at me and said, Dad,
don't embarrass me. No, it's hard not to say anything if you're watching the end of that game. It was just mind-blowing.
I guess it was entertaining. Listen, I have been a Duke fan for years when John Shire from the suburbs was playing for Duke. I really caught on with that club, and I was good for him for a while. I read a Bleacher Report story about a couple of weeks ago about Duke and Krzyzewski and their charmed existence, and it wasn't a real favorable column, and I've just been kind of tired of that show. I want you. And by the way, I had Duke in my brackets. So many people's brackets are right now. It's boring, right? Because the ones are all in. All the twos are in. All the threes or fours are in. You had a 12-13 game yesterday.
None of the fives are in.
Hey, Steve, what was Marquette?
I sent John a text during my vacation. When does Marquette play? And he said November.
Yeah, yeah. Marquette not only didn't play well, they played really badly.
Yeah, they really did.
I'm sorry, but at least you were away. Steve, welcome back. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I know you spoke briefly with Bill and Wendy, but you were gone for the week, and part of it was on a mission to bring eyeglasses and eye care to people. Where were you again?
We were in a town called Compostela, which is in the Nayarit area, about 3 hours from Puerto Vallarta. And a rural area, oh, the people, John, they were just so nice and gracious, and the food they cooked for us was phenomenal.
What were you doing?
So there's a group called Eye Care International, and they're out of Morris for the most part.
Morris, Illinois. Hello, Grundy County, the county seat.
Yeah, and it's where it started, and now there's a big California component too, but they just take thousands of donated pairs of used eyeglasses and go to areas of need, and they're optometrists. Julie was one. Tim Ortez is another one, and they sit in. I actually give eye tests, like with the eye charts, which was pretty funny.
Why was it funny, Steve?
Well, because I don't speak Spanish and they don't speak English, but we use pictures. Not everyone who takes the eye test is literate. So, you know, I've learned several different ways to say apple. And so they go through, and at the end of the day, people either get better glasses or for the first time in their lives, they have corrected vision.
What is that like?
I want to say this because I posted a lot of pictures and things on social media, and I don't want to seem like one of those people like, oh, look at the good work I'm doing, because it's just a fun group of people and a very rewarding sort of thing to do. And
it didn't look self-serving at all, Steve.
I'm sure it did to a lot of people.
Oh,
but
it did. No, well, then that's the point. Problem.
My point is that if you have old glasses sitting around the house, there are people whose lives will be changed. Just by you donating.
How do I do? You know, I used to give them to the Lions Club, I did once before, but this is Eye Care International?
Well, the group was Eye Care, right, but I think that they tend, I don't know that they do collect glasses, but, you know, Lions Club, the Rotarians worked with us in Compostela, so, I mean, you know, you can pick your group, but there's no reason for them to be in the back of a drawer.
How old were some people that were getting their glasses for the first time?
I talked to 11-year-old little school kids. I talked to women who were in their 80s. There's a video of a woman who was in her 80s who gave me a long blessing with her crucifix after I gave her the eye test. Of course, neither one of us understood anything we were saying to each other, but, you know, there just was that. That's what I liked about it. There's just the nonverbal communication among all of us was really inspiring.
As a newsman, was it nice to just immerse yourself in that kind of a vibe for a week?
Well, very much so. And it's a great group of volunteers who went, like a lot of them are in their 30s from California. And yeah, it just was great to be sort of in our own little commune for 8 days.
Did you get away from the news then?
Yeah, I had my phone with me, so I would see some alerts, but I didn't really see any.
Nothing happened.
No, the most I saw were the anti-Trump T-shirts on the beach. That was where I got my news, pretty much.
There were anti-Trump T-shirts on the beach?
Make tacos, not walls.
Seriously?
Relax, you're on the fun side of the border. Or you're on the fun side of the wall. Things
well, that's
like that.
Good. That's
yeah,
good.
There were some pretty funny ones.
But by and large, it was devoid of all of that, and it was just good people helping some happy people.
It's so much fun. I mean, it's so much fun.
Well, you don't want me to say this, but props to you and those people, Steve, because that's just a wonderful use of time and resources. And yeah, Brenda and I were talking about it over the weekend, and I've got pairs of glasses laying around my house. The next trip will include them. The problem is, when I get done with glasses, they're not all that user-friendly.
Well,
should I worry about that?
No, the people can find a way to rehabilitate them if you want.
Yeah.
Listen, about the people who volunteered, and I will tell you that we talked a lot about this. There's not one of them who won't say that they got more out of it than they gave. Yeah. I absolutely believe that's true.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome back, Steve Bertrand.
Thank you.
It's 119 on WGN Radio. Okay, so let's do this. I want to talk a little bit about the Mueller report. I read the Attorney General's summary. You didn't. It's four pages. That's what I do, heavy lifting. We think big thoughts here, so you don't have to. There are four sentences in there that the president should be happy about, and there's one that he should not. I'll tell you which are which, and we'll ask you to call and text now, 312-981-7200. Was this a waste of time and money, or was this time and money well spent? This is WGN. 674 days later, was that time and money well spent, or was that a waste of time and money? You know, the thing is, Paul Manafort was convicted on financial fraud and conspiracy charges. George Papadopoulos lied to the FBI, found guilty. President's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, you've heard about him, pleads guilty about lying to Congress. Michael Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI. Roger Stone's been indicted. Richard Gates, the deputy Trump campaign chair, pleaded guilty to lying to investigators in the FBI. You don't have any of that if you don't have this investigation, but none of that really gets to the heart of the, well, was there a conspiracy or were the Russians hacking us per se? So the Mueller report looks into that, of course, too. There was two things that the Mueller report was charged with doing, or they actually turned in a report that came in two parts. I might mention before I just get to those four sentences I alluded to a moment ago, that the directions to Robert Mueller were to provide a full and thorough investigation of the Russian government's efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. The point is, the word collusion does not appear in the Justice Department's directions to Mueller. They didn't say find out if there was collusion. They said investigate if there was a Russian government effort to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. We discovered that quite clearly there was at a very high level. So my answer on the news click, was it a waste of time and money, is no. I think it was time and money well spent. But I told you that there were four sentences that I think the president and his people would be very happy about. The report came in two parts, pardon me, the summary from the attorney general. No one's read the report outside of the few insiders. The attorney general's summary is in two parts. Russian interference and obstruction of justice. Was there Russian interference? And while they say there was, and it has been widely reported, they also say this, quote, the special counsel's investigation did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with Russia. Later, they say about was there a coordination between the Trump campaign and, say, Russian intelligence. They write, the special counsel did not find any U.S. person or Trump campaign official or associate conspired or knowingly coordinated with the IRA, that would be the Russian intelligence, in its efforts. Later, they write about the computer hacking of the DNC and Hillary Clinton. The special counsel did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in these efforts. Those are three reasons for Donald Trump and his people to click their heels. When you get to part two of the summary, though, under obstruction of justice, this is a sentence that I think would give everyone pause about obstruction of justice. Okay, so to be clear then, yes, the Russians hacked. Yes, they interfered. Did any Americans coordinate with them, collude with them? That word doesn't appear, but you know what we're talking about here. Is there any evidence of that? And they say they can't prove that. The special counsel's investigation did not find that there was a coordinated effort on the Trump campaign part with the Russians. Now, what about obstruction of justice? It's kind of a different bailiwick, isn't it? The special counsel, this is a direct quote, determined not to make a traditional prosecutorial judgment. Determined not to make a judgment. The special counsel does not make a judgment on was there obstruction of justice. The special counsel, I'm quoting now, therefore did not draw a conclusion one way or the other as to whether the examined conduct constituted obstruction. Instead, for each of the relevant actions investigated, the report sets out evidence on both sides of the question and leaves unresolved what the special counsel views as difficult issues of law and fact concerning whether the president's actions and intent could be viewed as obstruction. The special counsel states that while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him. So, of course, the president immediately tweets out the exact opposite because he just likes to make us crazy. It's in direct conflict with what the president tweeted, but nonetheless, the special counsel says that we do not conclude that the president committed a crime, but that also does not exonerate him. Okay, the fourth sentence that would make the president happy. So Robert Mueller is saying we aren't going to offer an opinion about whether or not there is obstruction of justice. We're going to leave that up to the attorney general. And the attorney general writes, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and I have concluded that the evidence developed is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense. So a lot of money was spent, a lot of time was spent, but not an extraordinary amount of either. In fact, one quick note for you, then we'll take a break and we'll get to your calls and texts about this. Manafort has five properties. Manafort has bank accounts and holdings. The amount of money that they're going to get from Manafort if they sell his properties and seize his accounts, and he's going to jail, and they have the right to do this. In fact, this is part of Manafort's agreement. He forfeits his properties. Manafort's holdings, if they get all of that, will be more than the cost of the Mueller investigation. Not that the money was ever an issue, but if somebody throws that up, tell them that this thing actually might be profitable.
Which is scary, too, because you don't want your investigations to turn a profit. No, I mean, really.
Right.
That,
I mean, right. That could go down the wrong path. But that's not germane, and nor is the amount of time that it took. Frankly, they said, well, the president was distracted. I don't know that the president was distracted. He didn't even sit down for an interview. Remember, his people answered questions that also specifically did not address obstruction. He only, on paper, with his people with him, answered questions about his behavior on the campaign trail. It's very limited.
Right, and it certainly looks, you know, good for the country in that the most damning allegation that the president might have colluded, it didn't happen,
right. Which
would be good. My only caution is right now you're not reading the movie, you're reading a review of the book.
That is correct, from the Attorney General.
Right, and so you're reading his account of what the book says.
Fair enough. Well, that's all I got.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
All I got. But be clear about that. This isn't the Mueller report I summarized. That's the summary I summarized.
That was written by someone else.
Affirmative. Okay. Who works for the president. But I'm not going down that road.
No, but I trust him to be an honest guy.
As do I. It's funny, though, because people like me and people much more like me, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know, Eric Zorn. It's very difficult for a lot of people to talk about this. For instance, the sentence, which is true, that this is actually good for the country, that this report evidently concluded that the president didn't collude, that should be cheered by all sides. And when Democrats say, well, that's good for us, you know that's a very difficult pill for them to swallow.
That's good for us.
Rather they feel, they won't say, but rather they feel that the president had been found guilty of or that there have been charges that would have actually led to some other event. They would have preferred that. Another few more years of this. How does that help anybody? Remember, though, when they do not find sufficient reason to charge you, it doesn't mean you didn't do it. It simply means that they didn't find sufficient reason to charge you. But that's a hair that even I'm not splitting today. That is the summary by the Attorney General. The question remains then, and boy, I can't believe that people are spending a lot of effort on this. It seems to me like the answer is so easy. Was this a good use of time and money? 312-981-7200. It's your turn after the news. Okay, the first 11 votes poured in while you were doing that.
By the way, Michael Avenatti will not be running for president now.
Darn, because that was going to be the next news click.
The first 11 votes have poured in?
Yes.
I'm going to say 8 say it was a waste of money.
7 say it was a good use of our time and money. And 4 say it's a waste of time and money. So we're opening, the opening bell is at 64% say that it was a time and money well spent, 64% in our 100% unscientific survey which has in fact only asked 11 people who took the time to go to WGNradio.com. You may be listening there now. Some of you are texting in. We said we'll read your text. 312-981-7200. 224 says waste of money. 262 says waste of time and money because it was based off of misinformation. No, it was not. 847 says anyone who thinks it was a waste of money ignores all of the indictments and convictions. And with the fines to Manafort, we actually profit. 815 says, John, I'm not a Trump fan, but let's not waste more time on this. What do you say? 312-981-7200. Al, you're on the air. How are you?
Hi, John. Thanks for taking the call. Listen, I voted for Trump, but I think this was necessary. And not for the country, but for the Democrats. They were so hostile to Donald Trump that they had to do something like this in order to psychologically work through all this anger. So, you know, it may have been a waste of time and money objectively, but you know, not doing it would have created resentment, such as there was in the South after the Civil War. So that's my opinion.
That's interesting. And, you know, too, Al, I mean, knowing what we know now, you could ask that question, was it a waste of time and money? But we don't know that the Mueller investigation, or at least the Barr summary of the Mueller investigation, we would not have known these things if, in fact, there had not been the investigation. They could have determined that there was. I know the president says there wasn't, but we're not going to take his word on that. So you can't know this until you investigate it, right?
That's right. So, and if you didn't do it, like you said, you would have left a lot of people grumbling and angry, and really, you know, there probably still are a lot, but this should at least satisfy some of them.
Yeah, I appreciate your call and listening, Al. That's well put. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Have a good day. We'll go from Al to Bob, 312-981-7200. I'd like to hear from you. Waste of time and money, yes or no? Bob, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, John. Yeah, I think that it probably was a waste of money, but I also think that Trump put over the TV that he was asking the Russians right off to look into Hillary's email, so... You know, that wasn't anything private. It was right over the television. So, you know, I can't let them off the hook for much of anything.
Well, that's it. Can you imagine if we hadn't investigated? I mean, just think about that. And by the way, the investigation started when Republicans controlled the Congress. So it's this. I don't see this as partisan at all. And by the way, the investigation determined that the Russians hacked our election, and they indicted 30 people and three companies in Russia, including the Russian Intelligence Bureau. None of them are going to be extradited here. We'll never get convictions on them. But if you wanted us to use our full resources to determine if the 2016 election was influenced by the Russians, we now have an answer. And it's yes, for crying out loud.
And we put down a marker to them that we know how to find them.
How is that not important? How is that not money and time well spent, for crying out loud? Bob, I'm done yelling at you. If you have anything else you'd like to say.
I thought you had me on hold again.
No.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we've had Trump waste a lot of money for us since he's been in office, so... There's no end to it. We're back at it with the border again, too. So
All right. Hopefully
that gets straightened out, John.
Thank you for the call,
Bob. Yep. I'd like to know more about it, though, John.
About the Mueller investigation or the wall?
The Mueller. I'd like to see all of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good question, Bob. Thank you for the call. And I get the feeling you will. That's the way the trade winds are. Here's what's going to happen. So... Barr and whoever else is going to work with him on this, Rosenstein and the rest of them, will have to determine, and this is part of the Attorney General's letter. Remember, they said, we aren't taking a position on obstruction of justice. The Attorney General determined that there is no obstruction, as is his right. So he's not going to prosecute that. But there are other entities that might. The Southern District of New York, there may be other charges that come out of this evidence. So now they have to determine what should go to a grand jury that we can't see right away. And so that's going to take a while.
You know, when you go to a movie at Christmas time and they show you trailers for films that are coming out in the summer, and you have to wait forever to find out what happens in the movie or what it's about?
Is that what this is?
I just want to see an account of the Trump Tower meeting. I want to see what they found there.
Well, Steve, you and I have been having this conversation for 2 years, and I don't think we're any closer to the middle than we were when we first started. You think the fact that they actually took the meeting is obstruction. They just weren't able to get the job done. And I've been... Am I correct about that?
Well, you're telling me what I think, mister?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, so I don't even mean it so much. But yeah, they said they did. If you're taking a meeting to try to figure out how to beat Hillary Clinton and you're doing it with agents of Russia, then you are conspiring or colluding. I think it is. But, I mean, look, I'll take Mueller. He was the guy charged with finding out whether it was a crime. And if he says it wasn't a crime, I'm on board 100%. I just still want to read his account of what it was that happened there, because we've all talked so much about it.
I hesitate to read this because it's lawyer speak. It's wonky. But on part two, obstruction of justice, and this lends itself to what you just said, Steve, they write, this is William Barr, your attorney general. Barr with two R's. Look him up. He's your attorney general. It says, in cataloging the president's actions, many of which took place in public view, the report identifies no actions that in our judgment constitute obstructive conduct. Okay, here's the definition of obstruction of justice. By the charge that they were given, obstructive conduct, a nexus to a pending or contemplated proceeding, so there has to be a certain immediacy to it, therefore this, and we're done with corrupt intent. Okay, they said, each of which, under the department's principles of federal prosecution guiding charging decisions, would need to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. So that they took the meeting isn't enough. You needed all three of those things. It needed to obstruct, it needed to be corrupt, and it needed to be immediately preceding something else that happened. And evidently, they didn't have all of those.
And again, that's William Barr's assessment.
Yeah,
that's not Robert Mueller saying that
that's
none
true.
Of those standards was met. That's Barr
true.
Saying, I got the report.
Well, but
by my opinion, none of them was met, which is the way it's supposed to work.
But Mueller could have said that. If Mueller had a slam dunk on those items, he could have just as easily said, and we find the evidence supports that they could have recommended, they could have charged, but they did not. They turned it over to the AG, and the AG said not so much.
Well, there's a long-standing policy of not indicting a sitting president.
One last thing about that. May I cut you off again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they said, given these restrictions, I have requested assistance of the special counsel on identifying information. They said that they made their determinations. This is Barr's summary of Mueller. That was done irrespective of the constitutional question about whether you can indict a sitting president. So, in other words, Mueller could have said that, yes, we have reason to prosecute the president. Now, we may find out, the courts may say, oh, no, you can't do that anyway because he's a sitting president. But Mueller did not concern himself
right.
with that.
But see, we're still doing it because Mueller might have written the president obstructed justice this way, or the president did this. And it's Barr's interpretation of those events that says it doesn't meet the, you know, we're still talking about, Steve. I know, and I don't want to argue. We're still talking about the review of the book. We're still talking about William Barr's version of the book, not the book.
Fine, but people aren't going to read the book.
No, they're not, and that's why this is a huge win for the president, because it's now been framed.
It's been framed
as it came out. There's no collusion, and the Democrats have to be very careful now, because the more they hit on it, you know, unless they do it very tactfully, it's going to hurt them in the long run.
It'll be subtraction by addition. They're actually going to go backwards if they continue to mine this. Now, maybe a court. Listen, I will not be surprised. I think the jury's still out. No pun intended. Will the president go to jail after his presidency? It's quite possible he could, right? But I don't think there's any reason for the Democrats to try and impeach him or to worry anymore about charges they should file against the president. I do think, and I don't know what get back to running the country means, because I don't think you can run the country if you can't trust the elections. So the most important thing in running the country is make sure we have fair elections. And we did not have a correct, or I don't know what the word is, fair, correct. The election was hacked by Russians who are trying to influence it. So I think the most important thing we can do at a nation is to make sure that doesn't happen again.
And I just want to restate that if Mueller says there's no obstruction of justice, that was his job to figure it out. If that's what he says, I'm with him. I just want to, and I don't want to, I don't want this to go on forever. I'm just pointing out that we're reacting to the Attorney General's reaction to the report right now.
Okay. Well, last thing about that, Steve. Do you think that somebody else with a greater voice of authority than the Attorney General is going to come out with a different interpretation of it? I mean, do you think that there's going to be somebody who, are we going to get a drastically different summary by a credible voice here?
Well, do you consider the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee credible? If you do, then the answer is yes.
Yeah, because but he's a Democrat.
Okay,
Steve.
But see, now you, I'm lured into it, making an argument. I'm not trying to make an argument. But what we have right now is the Republican Attorney General's opinion of it. The Democrats are also probably going to get it. They might see the facts in the report put out differently. The sticky wicket for them is how they react to that, whether they have smoke, you know, real information, or whether they just are made to look like sore losers and actually end up helping the president.
630 text, John, this is so hard for you. No corruption, no collusion. No corruption, no collusion. I hope that 630 also saw the part where it said 30 indictments, 3 companies, Russian intelligence, and 7 guilty verdicts or pleas from the campaign, et cetera, et cetera. I don't need to remind you of all the people close to the president. So let's also agree that while there's no collusion, I don't know what corruption means. Yes, there was corruption. The whole campaign was corrupt. But there was no collusion with the Russians. I hope you'll also agree that it did bear fruit. It's 150. Okay, your calls and more texts. WGN. John says, 269, Barr spent about 24 hours to form his opinion on an investigation that Mueller spent about 15,840 hours on. The report needs to be made public. 312 texts, isn't it funny how everyone has turned on Mueller due to his findings? The texts continue, your calls 2 in 60 seconds. Spring's here. Have you switched over to CD1 Price Cleaners as you're switching out your clothes? You're definitely missing out if you haven't. You'll save an average of 56% on your dry cleaning bill just by switching to CD1. At CD1 Price Cleaners, any dry cleaning garment is just one low price. Doesn't matter if it's that men's or women's garment, maybe a winter coat. You got a great big wool jacket that you've been wearing and now you don't need to wear anymore. Let's get it cleaned and put away. How about a full-length dress, ladies, that's not in season anymore? Get it cleaned and put away. It's just one low price at CD1 Price Cleaners. And value pricing is just one of the many benefits. Same-day service is free. If your dry cleaning's in by 10, they'll send you a pickup alert by 5. You've got gourmet coffee on your way out, and that's free for you, too. Start spring with savings by making the switch to CD1 Price Cleaners, Chicago spring cleaning headquarters. They've got, what is it, like 40-some locations throughout Chicagoland? Bet there's one near you. Ralph, you're on WGN. Jump in there, Ralph. What do you want to say?
Hey, guys, I think it was a waste of money myself. 20 lawyers and 40 FBI agents. And I think it's a dumb move on the part of the Democrats. They should have just left it alone and left the suspense there in the air, and then people would have questioned which it was. Was it or wasn't it? And how in the world does Donald Trump get indicted when Hillary Clinton doesn't get indicted? I mean, I'll hang up and listen, but it's just totally ridiculous.
Thanks for the call. I really appreciate you joining us. The Democrats didn't do this. Robert Mueller, a Republican, was appointed by a Republican administration to do this. The Democrats crowed about it and were worried about it and now maybe are taking a loss on the chin, but the Democrats didn't do this. This is Wayne. You're on WGN. Wayne, what do you want to say?
I just wanted to say, hold on a minute, okay? Just hold on a minute. I think Steve had it right, okay? I think I'd like to see the whole report. I mean, I think before we remember, there's a piece of legalese that I think you left out of what you were talking about in the summary of his report. And I heard last night on MSNBC by an attorney who's worked in this kind of stuff before, which I thought was really interesting. It didn't meet the level of, you know, of obstruction because the bar was set very, very high. Now, legally, that may be true, that the bar is set so high that it didn't. But what I would like to do is I'd like to see the report to see if common people like you and me and Steve and everybody else listening agrees with that. See, I don't think so. At the end of the day, I think we're going to look at this stuff and say, holy moly, what happened?
Well, maybe we're saying, you know, maybe people are saying that already. I mean, this is kind of my point. Regardless of the outcome of the Mueller report or the Barr summary or an impeachment trial that's not going to happen or charges against the president, I said, holy moly, when all of this stuff happened. The fact that it happened, that they have those investigations, those convictions, and those indictments, I think is holy moly. I don't know that anybody wins here. You could say everybody wins because we now know that. Listen to this. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for jumping in here. This is Sarah Sanders on with Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show. And the question was, after all of that, does the president owe Robert Mueller an apology? Hit it.
He's called him a national disgrace, discredited, a prosecutor gone rogue who oversaw a gang of thugs. In the end, this individual conducted investigation, came to a conclusion that ultimately cleared, as we just discussed, the president. Did Robert Mueller deserve better from the president than this kind of language and behavior?
Frankly, I think the American people deserved better. They didn't deserve for the election of this president to try to be taken
down. Wait a minute, but the president's rhetoric about a public servant doing a job.
Are you kidding? The president's rhetoric matches. They are literally, the media and Democrats have called the president an agent of a foreign government. But that is an accusation equal to treason, which is punishable by death in this country.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, that is... You have kids, and you know that if you say, did you do this? The answer isn't, yeah, but my brother did that. So let's talk about the president's behavior. He called Robert Mueller. He trashed him for 2 years. And in the end, Mueller just did an investigation that ultimately the president considers a total exoneration of him. Does he owe Robert Mueller an apology for that kind of rhetoric?
I think Democrats and the liberal media owe the president and they owe the American people an apology.
Sarah Sanders and Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show. It's 1:58. You haven't heard the last of this, but you have heard the last of this for this hour. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.